quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Can we get serious now?
One thing that did happen during the 60s was some music of an unusual or experimental nature did get recorded and did get released. Now look at who the executives were in those companies at those times. Not hip young guys. These were cigar-chomping old guys who looked at the product that came and said, I don't know. Who knows what it is? Record it, stick it out of it, sells, all right. We were better off with those guys than we are now with the supposedly hip young executives who are making the decisions of what people should see and hear in the marketplace.
Success in the music business begins with a dream, a vision. This podcast will give you, the listener, the insight and tools to turn that vision into a reality. Meet the industry professionals who work day by day behind the scenes, helping to make those dreams come true. Welcome to the business side of music.
Back in the studio, another episode of the business side of music. In the studio with us today, Blaine Howard, who's a country music artist, songwriter, who's making the grade across the board within the country music industry, at country radio, and among its fans. His original song, Promise to Lover, has generated more than 7 million views across multiple platforms and more than 36 million streams. This Arkansas native named the 2018 and 2019 Male Vocalist of the Year at the Arkansas CMAs embraces the sound he was raised on by infusing the styles of country music greats like Alan Jackson, Brooks and Dunn, and Randy Travis with his own personal flair. His relatable lyrics, powerful vocals, and entertaining shows are winning him fans all around the world. Blaine, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Glad you could be here. Your manager, Neil Spielberg,
yes.
He and I have known each other for a long time. So we met you at a public event here in Nashville. We were trying to figure it out there. And Neil said, hey, you got to meet this guy. He's got an amazing voice. I got to tell you, you've got a great voice. I love your style of music. How'd you get started in the business?
I got started when I was 18. I moved here to Nashville to attend Belmont University. Got a music degree in vocal performance there from Belmont. Graduated 2010. And since then, for a while there, I had a part-time job trying to do songwriting and book shows on my own and all that stuff. And since about 2012, been doing it full-time. Been rolling since then with about 75 to 100 shows a year, booking them all on our own. And that's just kind of how I got started. Just tried to build it from the ground up, one fan at a time.
75 to 100 shows a year. What types of shows?
Well, it started out just kind of acoustic stuff, either me or me and a guitar player playing wherever would take us, really. It could be your normal kind of Broadway-type bars, or we would play some wineries, things like that, that would have some shows on the weekends or early evening sets and things like that, play for a couple $100 or play for tips, try and stay with family just to save money wherever we could, because when you're playing for $500, hotel rooms cut into that pretty quickly.
Eats up a lot of that that money, yeah.
For sure. But as we kind of built our fan bases up in different areas of the country, just started moving into the more of the club venues. We play a lot down in Texas, and obviously Texas has a big music scene down there from Dallas all the way down to Austin and Houston and out in West Texas and everything. So they're very appreciative of original country music down there as well. So that kind of helped us build a base down there. And, yeah, that's kind of how we got it all going.
When did you start writing songs, and when did you realize that you could be a songwriter? Is it something you wanted to do from the very beginning, or?
It's not something that I wanted to do at all from the very beginning. I never really even thought that it was an option for me when I got to college, because I'd never even played guitar. I couldn't tell you what key a sheet of music was in when you gave it to me when I got to school, because I sang in choir all through high school, but we didn't actually have any music theory classes or things to teach you the basics of music at my high school in Arkansas. When I got to Nashville, got to Belmont, songwriting wasn't really something that I thought I would ever do. And as I met people through school, they all wrote songs, and I tried to kind of do it on my own and get things going there. But it wasn't until probably 2010 or 2011 where I actually just decided, okay, I'm going to sit down a couple days a week and try and write some stuff to see if I'm any good at this and see if I can figure it out a little bit. And that's just kind of how it built from there.
Did you start as a lyricist, or did you also put the music together at the same time?
I'm definitely more of a lyricist. I'll be the first person to tell you that I'm not the best guitar player in the world. I can play chords and play rhythm pretty well, but I'm not going to play any lead or solos or any kind of licks or anything like that. I just kind of taught myself to play off of a chord chart that I had on a poster in my room in college. just so I could, you know, learn to play along and write songs and things like that. So I definitely would say that I'm more of a lyricist. I still do occasionally, you know, I'll have a little idea as far as chord progression goes or something. But when I get into a co-write, I feel like lyrics are where I shine.
Do you do a lot of co-writing?
I do, yeah. I've been lucky to write with some great people, too. But yeah, I've been co-writing with a lot of people pretty much since I graduated college. I write a lot with my guitar player. His name is Joey Wingard. We've grew through our songwriting together. He's written a lot of stuff on my albums. I've been lucky to write a lot of songs with Jordan Reynolds, who just is, I think, on his third or fourth number one with Dan and Shay now. Went to school with him as well, which was it's been pretty cool to see him grow as a songwriter as well. I've been lucky enough through Neil to meet songwriters like Rick Huckabee and Steve Dean and write with them. They've been great to write with as well, and a bunch of other writers out there that I've been lucky enough to write with.
Your musical influences when you grew up, reading your bio, it says you're drawn towards the styles of artists like Blake Shelton, Dierks Bentley, and Brothers Osborne, which is a little bit of a variety there. But as a kid growing up, who'd you listen to? Who influenced you?
Growing up, I listened to Alan Jackson most of the time. But that whole era, Alan Jackson, Garth Brooks, George Strait, Randy Travis, Vince Gill, that's definitely what I grew up on. That was what my mom always listened to in the car. That's what I listened to. But when I got in the car with my dad, he would always put on the classic rock station. So I'd hear all the classic rock, AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, and then I'd hear Prince and Elton John. So I feel like I have so much of this, so much musical influence that's not just country that I try and work into my songwriting as well.
When you write, is there a unique style that you go for? Is there a theme? What drives you when it comes to writing a song? Is it based on some history that you've had or a thought process, or is it a gimmick, or what is it that you look at when you write?
Mostly, first of all, I think mostly we're just all trying to write good songs to start with. But the thing that I try and...
Are you looking to write like a commercial hit, or are you writing from the heart, or is it both? Or
kind of a little bit of both. You want to write something that can be commercial because obviously it's our job and we want to make money at it. But at the same time, you want to write something that's meaningful and means something to you and to the person that's listening to it. So the main thing that I usually try and go with is, what is the listener out there? What are they hearing in this song that they can relate to that makes them want to listen to it again, that they can go, that's me, that's my story. This guy knows what I'm dealing with and this guy seems like me.
And I would think, especially country music more than any other genre, and we do cover other genre bases, but country music really kind of is that this is a relatable song. This is something I can relate to, and that seems to help a lot. When you work with other songwriters, do you find that there's a lot of correlation with other songwriters wanting to do the same thing, or do they take you down different paths, different roads that maybe you're either not familiar with or you're not comfortable with?
It's definitely a little bit of both. I think that even though someone might take you, you might write with someone that's a little more pop influence or a little more contemporary or a little more rock and roll or whatever it may be, or blues, they'll take you down avenues that you haven't written before, which are great because it expands your songwriting ability. But at the same time, I think there's definitely something in there that we all are trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to write a song that someone out there can relate to. Whether it's something that has a drum beat and a drum loop and, I don't know, whatever production you want to put on it, it's still got to be something that people can relate to. So you see a little bit of both.
We're going to take a little break, get a word in for our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about these 75 to 100 dates you do a year. Some of the great country artists that you've shared stage with, I should say. Let's talk about what direction you're heading now and what's coming up.
Sounds good.
In the studio with us today, Blaine Howard, a country music artist and songwriter.
Hi, guys. This is Zach, Josh, Gabriel, and Sebastian from Greco, and you are listening to The Business Side of Music.
You're listening to The Business Side of Music.
Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Butler, and I want to send you a free digital copy of my new book, The Singer-Songwriter Rulebook. 101 ways to help you improve your chances of success. That's right. Everything you need to know to launch your career as a singer-songwriter, all based on my 40 years in the live performance arena. And believe me, I've seen it all. In my book, you'll find the 10 things you have to deal with before even thinking about becoming a singer, songwriter, performer. You'll also learn about the 5 things every singer, songwriter can do this weekend to make their live show better. 5 things I can guarantee that you are not doing already. Plus, there's tips on songwriting and staging, photo and video shoots, publishing, merch, dozens of other topics, all written for people who don't particularly like to read. And again, it's free. Just go to the Business Side of Music website homepage and look for my book cover. Click on it, and a free digital copy of my book will be yours. I'm Larry Butler, and I approve of this message. Thanks.
Hey, it's Chris SD from Sync Songwriter. Imagine what it would be like getting your music into the latest TV shows, movies, or ads. Your songs would not only get exposure in front of millions of viewers, you'd get paid to do it, and gain a reputation as the songwriter that you are. I've been showing songwriters, composers, and artists how to get their music into TV and film for over 15 years. Collectively, they have generated hundreds of thousands of dollars from licensing their music. Their music has been on networks such as HBO, Bravo, ABC, NBC, Netflix, and more. In films or trailers such as Predator, Annihilation, Christmas Chronicles, Professor Mac, and many others. So many songwriters upload their music to websites hoping to get discovered. Unfortunately, this almost never happens with the millions of songs out there competing for attention. I show you how to get your music heard by the people who can actually make it happen for you. When you start getting your music licensed, you automatically develop a reputation in the industry. This lets you get syncs over and over again. If you'd like to discover how to connect with the right people in music licensing, just click the Sync Songwriter logo on the Business Side of Music webpage, and I'll see you there.
You're listening to the Business Side of Music.
Back in the studio, Blaine Howard sitting across the table from us here in Nashville, Tennessee. Country music artist, singer-songwriter. One of the things we talked about during the break, you have generated more than 7 million views with your original song, Promise to Lover, and more than 40 million streams. That's a rarity these days.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. What drove that?
Honestly, again, I think it's something that people just related to. It was a song that I wrote this song as something that wasn't supposed to be anything more than a wedding gift for my wife. I never once thought that it would ever be anything that I would play at shows or, you know, that people would be wanting to listen to. It was just supposed to be a simple gift. Somehow I surprised her with it on the morning of our wedding, and she loved it so much that she wanted to use it as our first dance. And because of that, we got to surprise our reception with it. And everybody had, of course, these days, everybody has a cell phone going.
I'm going to assume you obviously had it recorded at that
point. Yes, I had a simple piano demo that I did when I wrote it.
So you weren't like on the dance floor with your guitar strumming
out. No. Yeah, I had the piano demo ready to go on a recording. And then somebody got some cell phone video of our wedding reception. And we're on our honeymoon in the Caribbean. And we're getting messages through my Facebook page saying, oh my gosh, I'm getting married this Saturday. I have to have this song. And I'm like, can I find Wi-Fi where I am to be able to send this to their DJ or whoever it may be? And it didn't take us but a couple of days to realize that this song is already touching people other than us.
Wow.
Which was insane. So that little cell phone video got about 500,000 views online. And I was like, okay, maybe we need to get in the studio, get this thing recorded for real. And we put together a music video, just kind of threw together our wedding footage with a few scenes of me playing at the piano, and it took off from there. And like you said, it's got over 7 million views online, which has just been crazy. But that was all in the first kind of year and a half, which was back in 2017. And since then is when it got caught on with the streaming sites. I think it just, I mean, with the people wanting to either play it at weddings or, you know, so many people think, you know, I have the same type of story that the song says, you know, that I traveled 500 miles to ask her dad for her hand and all this stuff. And I feel like a lot of people go through that. A lot of guys especially go through that process out there, and they want to play that song for their fiancés or their wives at their wedding.
You spent some time on stage. You've obviously spent time on the road traveling. When I look at your bio, you've performed at quite a few fairs and festivals. You have also shared the stage with such acts as Blake Shelton, Josh Turner, Joe Nichols, and Trace Atkins. Is that something you ever thought you would achieve in your career?
It's what I hope to achieve.
Yeah.
I hope to,
yeah.
You know, I always hoped that one day I would be on the back end of that and someone else would be opening for me, but that was always a goal of mine to get on the same stage as those type guys. And it was a cool experience when one of my first gigs was opening for Joe Nichols in my hometown in Hot Springs, Arkansas. A couple years later, when I opened for Blake Shelton, it was right after the first season of The Voice had been on TV. So he was extremely popular, just exploding across the country, not just for amongst country fans. Usually, you know, the opener goes on stage and there's maybe a third to half the crowd or something like that, and they're all waiting for the headliner to start. But when we started for the Blake Shelton show, there was already 10,000-12,000 people in the amphitheater waiting on him, ready to go. That was a pretty cool experience.
That's got to be a neat feel. I'm sure the chills.
Oh yeah, it's just looking back at the pictures where you can't see ground anywhere. It's just people as far as the eye can see.
And you got the spotlight in your eyes. So,
right.
Yeah. So that's all you can really focus on. When it comes to songwriting, Promise to Lover, obviously, I love the story there, which is good to know that something like that is created. You spoke from your heart when you wrote that. That's almost kind of like lightning in a bottle when you have something like that happen. Do you find it when you're writing songs like that to be that easy, or are you hitting stumbling blocks on occasions? Or,
I mean, I think any songwriter will hit stumbling blocks, or they don't feel creative that day, or they don't have a good idea that they think is very good. But I think that's where co-writing helps out.
In that aspect, in that instance, a co-writer is kind of like a kick in the butt almost.
Yeah, a little bit. Or you can be a kick in the butt to your co-writer. You never know which one of you is maybe going to help, you know, jump the other one out of the hole a little bit. But sometimes you go in and you're both clicking and you write a song like Promise to Love Her in about 45 minutes to an hour. It's just, you never know what's going to come out.
Do you keep a notebook of ideas and thoughts when you go in and you sit down and you write, either by yourself or with other co-writes? Is this something you travel with, or you have a little notepad by your nightstand? Or?
I don't have a notepad. Luckily, with technology, I think that makes it a little easier just to grab the phone and type it out real quick. But I have a note folder, a file in my notes app on my phone that I keep. It's just song ideas. And even if it's a line or a chorus or just one little idea, I'll grab it and scribble it down. Usually happens when I'm in traffic or something. It's kind of tough, and I promise I'm not trying to text and drive or anything like that. But
yeah, I can't do that in Tennessee anymore.
A good songwriting idea is hard to beat sometimes, though, so you got to jot it down anyway.
I read Keith Richards' bio of the Rolling Stones a few years ago. He would keep a notepad by his bed on his nightstand at night, and he'd wake up in the middle of the night and he'd have this great idea and he'd scribble it down and then he'd go back to sleep and he'd wake up the next morning and he couldn't read it.
Yep.
Doctor handwriting.
I think there's a Seinfeld episode out there where he does that with a joke, too.
This obviously, you know, having the notepad app helps. Are other songwriters doing the same thing? When you go in, especially, are you comparing notes? Are you comparing notes to see if something is going to fit, other than trying to maybe shove a square peg into a round hole?
It's more, you're not really comparing your notes. Like, I'm not reading through another songwriter's ideas and things like that, because we would hate to get an idea from somebody else and then write it with someone else, and then you have the problem of, oh, where did I get that idea, and did he take that from me or whatever. But definitely, like, when I go into a write, everyone pulls out either their phone or their iPad, and some people do still keep them on paper, and you'll all kind of look through and find ideas that you kind of like that day or what's speaking to you that day, and you kind of go with it. I would say probably, I don't know, a quarter of the time, someone will spit out an idea, and I've got an idea in my notebook that is pretty similar, so I have that idea already ready to go, or vice versa, I'll say it, and they'll have something close to it.
Are you recording everything that you write, or are you just getting it down on pen and paper to start, and then say, okay, this is something, now let's go into the studio and get this put on tape?
Usually, even if it's just something as simple as putting on your voice memos on your phone and recording a quick work tape. Every single co-write that I've been to in the last, I don't know, 6-7 years, every single one of them's done at least that way. Obviously, with the advancement of technology, as far as being able to record songs from home and Pro Tools and things like that, a lot of guys can build some pretty quick demos with a drum track and bass and guitar from their home now. So as you're writing, someone's kind of building a track as well.
Do you work out of your own studio, or...?
I usually will write at other studios. I don't have a space at home right now to actually be able to record and write other than just using my phone. That's kind of, I'm working towards finding a space to where I can do that from home. But at least I can go into a spare bedroom or sit down in the living room and write a song on my own, which is good.
Where do you do most of your co-writing?
Really, it depends. It will depend on who I'm writing with. If they have a home studio, I'll go there. If sometimes they have a publishing company or a space on Music Row, we'll go down there, or we'll rent a room at ASCAP or something like that. The good thing about songwriting is you can really, if you had to, you could do it in somebody's car. You can just, as long as you have a space for two people and a couple of guitars, you can get it done.
It's a good way to put it. In the studio with us today, Blaine Howard, country music artist and songwriter.
Hey everyone, this is Jack Sharkey. I'm the marketing and technical communications manager at KEF, and you're listening to The Business Side of Music.
You're listening to The Business Side of Music.
Wow, I just joined the Music Starts Here community. This is a truly hidden gem for anyone in the music business. Whether you live in Nashville or anywhere else in the world, Music Starts Here is like a GPS for your music career. This is the place to be if you want to get advice and direction from some seriously talented musical people who have been where you want to go. Music news, events, and a great big community with resources for artists, songwriters, musicians, studio and tech, along with music business advice from pros in the industry, all on one site. Make sure you get your free profile now. Go to www.musicstartshere.org. That's musicstartshere.org.
You're listening to The Business Side of Music.
Back in the studio, Blaine Howard, country music artist, singer, songwriter. When an artist has an original song that's generated more than 7 million views and more than 40 million streams, I think we got to hear the song. And your tune that you wrote for your wife, Promise to Love Her, let's listen to it.
Miles. I had it all planned. Drove all day to ask your dad for your hand. I wrote it all out. I knew what I'd say. My heart, it was racing and my hands started to shake. But I took a deep breath and I said, I promise to love her with all that I have. I put nothing above her and won't turn my back. She's my everything, she's all I'll ever need, and she loves me at my worst. Sir, I give you my word, I promise to love her. The music plays and I'm all a mess as I watch you walking towards me in that pretty white dress. Do you take this woman to be your wife, to have and to hold for the rest of your life? Well, I took a deep breath and I said, I promise to love her with all that I have. I put nothing above. Promise to love her with all that I have. I'll put nothing above her and I won't turn my back. She'll be my everything and all I'll ever need, my little angel on earth. Lord, I give you my, I promise to love her. I give you my word. I promise to love her.
great voice, great song. What's next for Blaine Howard?
Next is, well, we reshot the music video for Promise to Love Her, and it just had its world premiere on CMT for CMT Music and CMT.com just this past Wednesday. And then I've got new music coming as well. Just started tracking some 6 new songs in the studio. So we're hoping for...
You're working on a new album.
Working on a new project for hopefully for the first quarter of 2020. So yeah, a lot of things coming. Plus, it's weird that, again, I kind of wrote this into fruition. It's weird, but my wife and I are expecting a baby girl in April too. So we've got a lot of things going on right now.
You're going to be one busy person.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. We're so excited.
How can people find you?
BlaineHoward.com is the easiest, B-L-A-N-E, Howard.com. If you're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, it's just all at Blaine Howard. And then if you stream or download music, pretty much anywhere music can be found online, you can find my music there.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
The Business Side of Music is the creation of Tom Sabella and Tracy Snow and is produced by Bob Bender. The Business Side of Music is recorded at Music Dog Studios in Los Angeles, California and Nashville, Tennessee. Production sound designed by Keith Stark. Voiceover and promo by Lisa Fusine.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
When's it gonna start?
I don't know. When's it gonna end?